Today on The Journey.
When you say a word, you're starting with an emotion in your heart. It is going up to a thought in your mind. You're forming that into a way you're going to say it, and it's coming out your mouth. When you talk, you are sharing your heart.
What are those invisible filters that confuse the messages passing between you and your spouse? Well, today, Ron Moore identifies them so that you can avoid their traps and learn how to make your marriage conversations more meaningful. Also, we're offering for a donation of any amount Ron's booklet called In the Beginning, A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's available at ronmoore.org, and I'll have more about it later in the broadcast. Now here's Ron with the message, Let's Talk on The Journey.
We're going to talk about communication. There are three things that break up a marriage, three major things. Communication is one. It's the top one. Money is the next one, and sex is the third one. Communication is at the top of the list because if you can communicate, and if you're committed to communicate, and if you learn to communicate well, then you can talk about the money issues, and you can talk about the sexual issues in a clear and safe way. And so communication is far and above the most important issue in the marriage relationship. Communication is the tool to work out the other problems. So if you have an issue with the main tool, you're going to have an issue with other stuff. All right, understanding communication. Here's a great definition from a guy named Griffin who writes a textbook for college communication theory. I think this is one of the best definitions of communication. Communication is the management of messages for the purpose of creating meaning. So you have within your heart messages, and communication becomes the stewardship of those messages, how you manage them. You're going to manage them in a thoughtful way, in a disciplined way, in a careful way. And you do it for a reason, to create meaning. Now let's break that down a little bit. The management of messages is both the speaker and listener's responsibility. I could be the best speaker in the world, and if no one was listening, did communication take place? No. If you were listening and there was terrible communication going, did good communication take place? Mm-mm. So the management of messages is both the speaker and the listener's responsibility. Secondly, communication has to be clear and it has to be safe. It has to be to the point. Now, it can use a lot of words and you can use a lot of figures of speech to communicate what you're going to say. But at the end of the day, the person has to know what you meant. It has to be clear and it has to be safe. And one of the reasons that communication becomes an issue in the marriage is that it's not safe. So if I know that we're going to enter into a conversation and I'm going to get blasted in this thing, then after a while, I'm going to shut down because it's not worth it. I don't want to get hurt just trying to hear what you're saying. So it's got to be clear and it has to be safe. Look at this quote from a play by Philip Roth. Conversation isn't just crossfire where you shoot and get shot at, where you got to duck for your life and aim to kill. Words aren't only bombs and bullets. No, they are little gifts containing meaning. So you can use words for bombs, you can use words for bullets, or you can use a word as a gift. Communication must be validating and it must be polite. Depending on what research you look at in communication, one verbal negative wipes out between 5 and 20 positives. And you know that to be true. Positive, 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 one zinger, and it's over. Gottman is a researcher who has done tremendous work in the area of marriage and communication. Here's what he says in a classic book called A Couple's Guide to Communication. Think about this. Strange as it may seem, one of the first things to go in intimate relationships is the very courtesy and politeness we are quite apt to continue to pay to total strangers. It's true, isn't it? So there are times when I'm engaged in a conversation with Lori and I'm not doing what I say to do, and I'm thinking, I wouldn't tell someone at church that. I wouldn't talk to them like that because they may think less of me because I'm not supposed to talk like that. But here I am with the one I love the most in the entire world saying this thing. And it's amazing. So Gottman says, it's strange, isn't it? But one of the first things that go in intimate relationships is the very courtesy and politeness that we are quite apt to continue to pay to total strangers. Why is that? That we let down the guard so much when it comes to communicating with the one we love the most. All right. Communication is the expression of one's heart. Wright, who writes a classic book called Communication, the Key to Your Marriage, with a Christian counterpart to Gottman, says this: communication allows people to know each other, to relate to one another, to understand the meaning of the other person's life. So in communication, you are expressing your heart. You hear people saying, you know, I don't know why I said it. It just came out. Words don't just come out. It may feel like they're just coming out, but somewhere they're embedded in your heart. I remember talking to a guy one time about some negative, challenging things he was saying to other people, and he said, those are throwaway words. Well, there are no such thing as throwaway words. When you communicate something, it's coming from your heart. So think about it. When you say a word, you're starting with an emotion in your heart. It is going up to a thought in your mind. You're forming that into a way you're going to say it that may be really ugly, and it's coming out your mouth. Now, that may happen in a nanosecond, or feel like it happens in a nanosecond, but when you talk, you are sharing your heart. So communication is the expression of one's heart. Let's look at a biblical guide to God-honoring communication, and we'll start with this passage. James says, my brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Someone has said God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we talk. So quick to listen. Listen means to make a conscious effort to hear, attend closely so as to hear. Pay close attention. When you look at that, listening's hard work, isn't it? Make a conscious effort to hear. Okay, I'm hearing. Attend closely. I worked with a guy one time. All the time I was talking to him, he was looking out the window. I say, man, if I'm interrupting you, just let me know. I'll come back later. He was hearing, but it certainly didn't appear he was attending closely. All right? So we know communication is critical. We know that with communication, we can build up or tear down. We know that words that come out of our mouth are an expression of our heart, whether we like that or not. So if we're putting out some zingers, we need to check our heart. What are some practical things in your home, in your life, that confuse communication, that confuse the message? Emotions. Emotions certainly can confuse the message. Body language. So again, it's not always what you say, but it's how you say it. And part of that how is how you're presenting your body language. Preoccupation. Researchers call this inattention. It can be internal factors such as being tired, being bored, mood, being involved mentally in a consuming situation, or it can be external factors like children, like television, like internet, cell phones, emotional state. Emotional state, again, that goes back to the mood. If you're in a good mood, you are more likely to speak clearly, safely, politely. If you're in a bad mood, you're more likely to not hear or speak as well. If you're in a good mood, you're going to speak and hear better. Pre-interpretation. Researchers call this expectation. The listener tends to hear and understand what he or she expects to hear and understand. This causes the listener to begin interpreting the message before it is complete. Pre-interpretation. Communication personality. Some people are much more expressive. Some people are more reserved. My son and I could go on an 8-hour road trip and say three words and be fine. If I'm with my daughters, they're asleep if we're not talking. So it's just your personality. Here's one. Shields up. The listener puts up a listening shield to guard himself from the pain of being hit by reckless words. I've been here before. It hurt really bad. So I'm putting up a shield, and I'm not going to hear most of what you say, but by golly, I'm not going to be hurt. And how words can really hurt. And when it hurts enough, you put the shields up because you don't want to hear it. Here's the next one. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Some of the biggest arguments are about what's happened in the past. And here are four things you can do to deal with that. First of all, acknowledge your memory is not perfect. Anytime you're doing a yes, I did, no, you didn't, you are putting forth a perfect memory. I am certain this happened. Acknowledge that you may have not communicated clearly. I thought I communicated like that, but maybe I didn't. Acknowledge that you may have misunderstood. Drop it and move on. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're going to behave like preschoolers. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. All the way until someone wears out and says, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I either will stay here and tune out, or I'll just leave, or I'll put up a shield or whatever. So James says, be quick to listen, be slow to speak. So speak to utter words with the ordinary voice from the dictionary. So yelling is out. To express or communicate opinions, feelings, ideas, dreams, frustrations. To make a request or express a reservation. Look at the power in that second one. Look at the foolishness in the first one. To utter words with ordinary voice. If it's not an ordinary voice, it's not communication. To express or communicate opinions, feelings, ideas, dreams. Man, that's your life. So speaking is communicating who you are, how you feel, what you're dreaming about. Look real quick at the power of words from Scripture. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. So the person who says, you know, whatever's on my mind, that's what I say. It's not always a smart thing to do. He who holds his tongue is wise. You don't always want to say what's on your mind. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. And the thing with words, just like arrows shot, you can't retrieve them. They are out and gone, and they're going to go to a target. And if it's a reckless word, it's going to hurt when it hits. Proverbs 51, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. And then James says, when we put the bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships, for example, although they are large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So not only is James talking about the words that come out, but he's saying, where are they coming from? And they're coming from a fresh spring, then it's going to be fresh water. If it's coming from a salty spring, it's going to be a salty water. So your words are going to demonstrate what is hidden deep in your heart. So some application. Think before you speak. Speaking your mind is not always the right thing to do. Disciplined communication involves holding your tongue. Proverbs 11:12 says, a man who lacks judgment derides him, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. Number two, speak openly, honestly, and lovingly. And those three you can do together. You should shoot straight and as Christians and be honest and open with each other, but you can also do that in love. Remember, wounds from a friend can be trusted, Proverbs 27:6, but an enemy multiplies kisses. The Proverbs is saying that sometimes when you communicate with each other, it's going to be difficult. So think about husband and wife. If I have an annoying habit, then Lori, as my best friend on the face of the earth, should be able, in an open and honest way, to say, you know what? You really have an annoying habit that is extremely annoying to others and me. And wounds from a friend, even though I don't want to hear that, I can accept that because I know her heart for me. But an enemy coming up, just continuing to put praises on you, is an enemy multiplies kisses. Make sense? Timing is everything. There are some things to say, but not the right time to say them. Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything under the sun, season for every activity under heaven, a time to born, a time to die. This should make a song into this. Time to be silent and a time to speak. Time for everything under heaven. Rules for the speaker and the listener. I'm going to go with the rules of the speaker and the listener, then the rules for the speaker, then the rules for the listener. The rules for the speaker and listener. The speaker has the floor. You're going to share the floor because it would be really unkind never to let the other person talk, right? So you're going to share the floor. During this time of communication, there is no problem solving. You're not trying to fix anything. You're not trying to solve anything. You're not trying to bring a conflict to resolution. You are simply trying to communicate. You're simply trying to understand. You're going to stay on one subject at a time. You don't want to talk about a lot of things. You can use the same technique for the next subject. You can stop the flow for a moment if something is not going right. So, not going right, time out, start all over, or let's figure this thing out. All right, rules for the speaker and the listener. Here's the rules for the speaker. Don't go on and on when you're speaking. Talk in small chunks, a sentence or two. Probably the hardest thing that most people do, because when you have the floor, you want to dump the load, you want to dump the truck. Small chunks, you'll be able to get it out. Stop and allow the listener to paraphrase what has been said. So when you speak in a sentence or when you speak in that two sentences, you stop, you still have the floor. Now the listener has to have been listening because he or she has to say, so you're saying da-da-da-da-da. You're not parroting it, you're not repeating it, you're paraphrasing it. A bird can repeat it, but you're paraphrasing it to demonstrate that you understand it. Speak for yourself. You're not speaking for anyone else. You're not telling your wife what she really said. You are simply saying, so you're saying, blah, blah, blah. You can pass the floor at any time to the listener to hear his or her side of the story. So you're going to pass this back and forth. But when you have the floor, you are the speaker. All right, that's the rules for the speaker. Here's the rules for the listener. Paraphrase what the speaker is saying. You're just going to paraphrase. That's your job. That's your only job. You can ask for examples or explanations of something the speaker said. So, can you give me an example of that? Or, I'm sorry, can you say that again? Or, I'm sorry, can you explain that? Oh, so you're saying, boom, okay? So if you hear something that you don't understand, then you can ask for an example or explanation, but the point is to be able to finally understand it so you can paraphrase it. During this, you do not offer your opinions or interpretations until you get the floor. And when you offer your opinions or interpretations, then the listener is paraphrasing to make sure he or she understands your opinions and interpretations. Concentrate on what the speaker is saying and attempt to edit out your internal responses. So you're doing your best to keep your emotions down. You may be in a situation where your wife is telling you about your annoying habits. You need to keep your emotions down, and you're trying to understand what your spouse is saying. Now, use some grace with each other. If one of you doesn't follow the rules, you can just say, hey, time out, let's do this right. But again, be graceful in that, because you're trying to learn to ride a bike on the road. You need to learn to pedal, but you're also on the road. Okay, let me give you one other little technique that works pretty well. As you are contemplating what to say, you can use this technique, because a lot of times we have things we want to say, but we don't know how to say them. So we have this feeling or issue or whatever, but we try to explain it and it never comes out right. So here's an approach. Again, it's in every communication book. It's called the XYZ approach. When you do or don't do X, so X is a specific behavior, in situation Y, Y is a specific setting, I feel Z, specific feeling. For an example, instead of, you jerk, you always forget Valentine's Day. Now, that communicates something, right? Communicates how you're feeling. But it's said in a way that is probably not going to be received well. So you could get the same punch by saying, when you didn't buy me a gift, X, for Valentine's Day, Y, I felt very hurt and insignificant in your life. How about when you held my hand as we walked into your company's Christmas party, I felt deeply satisfied and secure.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Before that, we want you to know about his booklet, In the Beginning, A Biblical View of Sexuality. Many, both inside and outside the church, fail to realize that sex was designed by God, a beautiful gift to his creation. He meant it as an expression of love and for our enjoyment, but only when expressed as he intended. Sadly, our culture has distorted that intention. In this booklet, Ron counters that influence with a biblical worldview anchored in creation, the fall, and redemption. In the Beginning, A Biblical View of Sexuality is yours for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
We're going to look today at a psalm of thanksgiving. And we'll see as we work our way through this psalm that this, first of all, is a call for us to be thankful people always. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. Thanksgiving and praise, the psalmist says, should come from the hearts of those who are righteous. And we know that our righteousness is not of our own, but it's only because of Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, who paid the penalty for sin, who canceled our debt. That is the only way we can stand before God and be declared as righteous. And we of all people as Christians should be thankful. We of all people should be those who rejoice with our lives. Thanksgiving should flow from every aspect of who we are and what we do. For the believer, God has taken up residence in our heart. And from that, thanksgiving should constantly flow.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And remember to order your free copy of Ron's booklet, In the Beginning, A Biblical View of Sexuality. In its pages, you'll learn how to enjoy the gift of sex in marriage, resist temptation, and recover from sexual sin. In the Beginning, a Biblical View of Sexuality is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.